And good morning, good morning, good morning, dear listeners. Don't worry, it's not an emergency specifically in terms of just the slight silence, but we are here. We're obviously here to start your day. Well, technically, David started your day for you, but continuing your particular morning programming and session here, following right after the early morning scoop discussions there with David, we are into the realm specifically of the unpacking the day. And as you do know how the order of the rules of engagement actually go, we go through each particular discussion, topic, scenario that obviously comes about. There's obviously conversation happening in the aspect of, you know, a whole range of items, but we're also going to be focusing specifically on the discussions contained within, or the content contained within this morning's, this is the Wednesday session of the Villager e-paper. Don't worry, I won't dissect everything, but just extrapolate certain particular, as I always do, certain particular elements, because there are still of you, still some of you that have not read as yet. Do head over to our digital platforms where we do contain it. We bring it out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, as most of you would know. But for those of you who don't know, good morning. And obviously, you can latch on to that particular aspect in terms of seeing the particular content that we always provide for you in the Villager e-paper. But we are here on Eagle FM, and as we always do here, of between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., this is the Unpacking the Day. Good morning, welcome, and obviously, you can come through and share your particular engagements. Just to let you know, specifically, as you know, valued listeners and stakeholders, obviously, of Eagle FM, you know, there is a little bit of a participatory democracy that sometimes takes place. But for those of you who obviously, you know, feel like participating, it's 083-288-401. Once again, 083-288-401. So, first order of business, first item on our menu, first particular thing, because I love food, that we look at for this morning's particular start. We start off, obviously, it's actually something that's on our social media platforms, and this is just something that came about specifically for those of us who probably are consumers from the pay-per-view platform. That's obviously DStv, where they've indicated that free-to-air broadcasting will become an issue specifically. Now, free-to-air, if you don't know, there are certain broadcasters that actually benefit from, you know, it's like getting a donation here and there, specifically during World Cup season, you know, football World Cup season. And they would get like a donation situation here and there. And the free-to-air situation is one based upon that FIFA has specific rights broadcasting agreements. So they call it, just to let you know, they call it sort of like grants. FIFA grants broadcasting rights to specific countries, meaning that some channels can only air World Cup matches within their licensed territories. Now, obviously, if you don't know, the pay-per-view platform itself has got a multi-geographic location presence. So, yes, for those of you that still are customers, you obviously pay your particular, you know, whatever subscriptions, that's the term is. I almost said premium, but premium is meant for insurance. They pay your subscriptions monthly. You obviously would have probably seen this message. I know you saw this message because, hint, hint, I got this message as well. But nonetheless, so the particular indication obviously has been, just for those football lovers out there, that if you're relying on a free-to-air broadcast or to access a free-to-air broadcast, it seems like FIFA is changing its particular tune in terms of making the beautiful game the people's game, but rather the game of the privileged. Meaning if you don't pay, you don't watch. which is an old adage specifically, that a piece of wisdom that was always shared with the when I was in my early days in university, where there was a bunch of us that went like, you know, if you don't pay, then you don't eat. And that we all know what that was related to. That was usually for a portion of chips and some bretchens with a 2 liter Coke. That could still be, all of it could still have been, you know, purchased at the price of a good $50 here and there. But nonetheless, so in terms of just a little bit of some bad news, in terms of that scenario, if you're a major football fan, you don't have a subscription anywhere, but you're relying on free-to-air broadcasting rights are under threat, unfortunately. Now, this specifically is what the pay-per-view platform DStv indicated, is that certain channels, that certain free-to-air channels on its platform may be temporarily unavailable during the upcoming FIFA World Cup due to FIFA's broadcasting regulations. So that means if you, as a subscription platform, for example, if you've got all this massive bouquet of channels, and some of these channels are free to air is usually the public broadcasters or community broadcasters, or in some cases they have channels that are like CSR projects in its own right. That usually is the ones that have the Zambian, Ghanaian, Nigerian movies, sometimes a little bit South African, sometimes a little bit Eswatini or Lesotho-ish movies. Unfortunately, some of those particular channels won't be able to carry such things. This is obviously, as mentioned with regarding the broadcasting rights, and broadcasting rights has been the exact discussion we just had basically yesterday about the creative industry. That is the commodity of the future. Well, it currently is in major play right now, but that is the great commodity that can actually unlock a lot of economic particular potential. Latent, I call it latent potential, because it's not yet unlocked. It is there. We do have the athletes. We do have the creatives potentially. We do have the talent. We can produce some of these things, but it's only if people recognize this basic commodity in the commercial agreements. And if broadcasters in this country are serious about paying for content. I'm not talking about an influencer. I'm not talking about someone who has a wonderful idea because their parents told them, yeah, you probably are, you know, what the rest of the world, we just are not seeing. I'm talking about talent, meaning you went to an acting school, you went to an art school, you went to a film and design school, and you got your certification, your industry certification, you got your skill sets, you got your, you know, sort of like your with those people, technically you don't talk about CVs, you talk about resumes, you talk about proof of work done. Literally what they ask construction workers and plumbers and architects and engineers from, proof of work. And obviously proof of work is a core thing. So, just to reiterate once again, when you actually have the opportunity of looking at commercial activities in practice, it's not rocket science. It's literally not rocket science. Rocket science has probably become like my go-to term for 2026, because things are not supposed to be complicated. They're not complicated. In some cases, you probably don't have to care about any regulation for that matter. Yes, I'm not calling for lawlessness, but I'm actually calling for an aspect of, well, look at what the technology people are doing. They're breaking laws first before they have to respond, or to repay, or to compensate, or to apply, or comply to any legislation around the world, from AI all the way to websites. They're breaking laws first before they actually comply, which is probably a principle based upon, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. basically. That's what it boils down to. Now, on that particular philosophic note, which ties into a particular commercial aspect itself, there's also the lovely front page, indication, obviously, for this morning's the Villager e-paper platform. And this one is actually based upon the particular, I would say, appetite. I'd really call this appetite. Now, if you've had the opportunity of seeing this morning's e-paper, the front page is obviously based upon the private sector, that it actually has appetite for more government instruments in terms of securities. It's technically government securities. And they are approaching the Ministry of Finance, or according to the Ministry of Finance, they've been approached regularly, in terms of investment, or private sector that is approaching the ministry with investment, for specific, infrastructure projects. And obviously it seems that the ministry, has highlighted that, that the ministry has highlighted specifically that they would have to decline these unsolicited funding bids. That is obviously in the headline, but the concern from this particular indication by the Ministry of Finance is not that they are sitting in a position of strength. Let me say it again. It is not even a question of a position of strength. It is a question of a need later on in this year. We are only in May 2026. The government's financial year technically is beginning this month, May, not in April. Yes, it opened in April, on the 1st of April 2026, after the closure of the previous governmental financial year of 2025, which happened on 30 March. Yeah, 30 March. No, it was 31 March. But anyway, at the end of March, the previous financial year basically closed. Now, the reason why I'm speaking about positions of strength and positions of weakness is primarily because you see where the need is. You will see where the need is. Here's the concern. The article itself, written by my colleague, Inomenua Erastus, speaks towards treasury bills. It speaks specifically towards treasury bills. It also includes bonds, actually. Yeah, it speaks to bonds as well. Now, the indicator from this primarily is that there is a calendar. And it's a calendar that is issued by the Bank of Namibia. The particular calendar gives an indicator of all government instruments up for purchase or up for auction, whatever term you want to use, but the moment you put down money for something, you own it. Okay, before I actually continue with that train of thought, let me first get this caller coming through. Eagle FM, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Is it Anga Bona? Hello?
We land in the studio.
Sorry?
We land in the studio.
Who in the studio? All right. Word of advice, fellow Namibians, kindly speak up, because sometimes I know we have an issue communicating. So open your mouth, say the words that you want to say, and actually use the words. Speak. Let us hear. Let us converse. Let us have discourse. But nonetheless, don't be afraid to engage. The number is still there, 083-288-401. Now, where was I? Okay, my train of thought was on the aspect of looking at positions of strength and weakness, and that these positions of strength and weakness are determined by positions of need and want. So, the Namibian government, through all its ministries, need local investors. So that's you, me. I almost mentioned someone's name who was a former colleague here, but it's not her that I'm referring to. So let me rather just use someone that I've never known. A Mary down the street and probably a Edward up the street. No reference to any Edwards that I know out there, if you are listening. So, when you have to look at the national budget that obviously came out at the start of this, back in February, on the 28th of February. No, 26th February. 28th February is a Saturday, because I know it, because it's a Saturday that I woke up and I heard that democracy is being delivered to Iran. And I was like, what is Donald Trump doing? Okay, let's get the caller's contribution coming through again. Eagle FM, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Oh, Angabona, sorry. You know, I actually thought that the previous caller was you.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, no, because the person sounded just like you, and I was, okay. But anyway, how are you doing, Angabona?
No, that's why I like you when you are here, because when you are here, it's kind of engagement.
Mm.
The interaction.
Mm.
I'm saying that the openness of you having some kind of just interact with people, you talk about a variety of issues, important issues. And if you look at what they were discussing, unfortunately, when David had the conversation with Jobs on the issue of postgraduate and areas where people can really look at. And before that, we were talking about, you know, also a lot of issue, creative industries, and all this journalism, and all this profession.
I'm going to take journalism slightly out of it. Out of the creative sector, just slightly for now, because the reason is journalism is facing certain headwinds. I'll be honest with you, Angabona. It is facing certain headwinds. I am looking at the industry holistically because I observe, because I also obviously speak to other, you know, journalists, but I observe specifically that they unfortunately is some sort of a tidal wave of something coming. And it's not AI, but it's based upon certain mediums becoming relevant. Because the unfortunate thing is ICT technology is proliferating quick access to information. So it's no longer about who has a story first, or who prints the most newspapers, or who has the best interview on air, or whatever. It's more about how you actually provide content. And, for example, like what we are doing at Eagle FM, we're literally becoming content producers. We are giving you the conversation. Not news. Everyone can give you news. We're giving you conversation.
No, don't even mention that one, my brother. You are at that top. So I can affirm to that, because we are the beneficiary of this content, research, education, information, not just to give information, like you say.
Yeah.
So, and here, Job, we're talking about opportunity. How to, and he was very, very good. And we were talking about to learn, how to learn and all these other issues. And then he was now linking those things that, yes, if we can all really do and work together, combine our efforts, especially because there are so many. I have discovered that there are so many postgraduates who have studied community development, who have studied, you know, developmental studies.
Don't worry, I love that subject, development studies, because if you come from a country like what you and I come from, like Namibia, a country that was previously colonized, we will always have the need to develop, to upgrade, to improve, and to reach a desired level. Because when you go and sit and think to yourself, when will development for Namibia end? Angabona, do you know that that's an open-ended question with a no clear date, with no clear indicator in sight?
I don't know. So those are some of the areas, because when you look at agriculture, when you look at the storage, when you look at the logistic and transportation, when you now look at least, even though they are also talking about the skills, the abilities to do those things, and a lot of issues to engage even income-generating activities, the planting of the trees, those environmental investments, you know, these other things, they are also there. The climate, smart agriculture, you know, techniques and all this, whatever you are talking about. So now all those contents, all these issues, you know what I mean, to tell you the truth. I didn't know who, of course, I used to participate in programs there and there. I'm talking about radio now. Presentation, the topics people are presenting, this proposal like we had this morning. So it is because I'm just feeling, you know, this is how I evaluate myself, that I could learn a lot of things in life, in terms of academic, in terms of social development and all this, apart from what I got from the institution of higher learning and things like that. So I think we just need to debunk or learn and allow you people who can engage us, help us to understand issues. But the postgraduate, even the degree, the undergraduate, so who completed their studies, is it that perhaps they are not also well organized or organizing themselves, or who should really do that?
And that is literally the headache, Uncle Bonner. That is literally the headache, because the headache is about, okay, we've now produced a graduate. And the concern has been, Uncle Bonner, I know the former president, obviously, may his soul rest in peace, Kain Gop, you know, he had a way of speaking to, you know, when people ask him a direct question in terms of, we have graduates, how do we connect the graduates to the employment market? And then you remember the famous statement where he said, now go out and create your own job or create your own business. Now, it's a double-edged sword that he actually said.
I remember that one where he was criticized. And humiliate and what.
Yeah.
And that concept is the one that is, even when you hear, not this time around, I listened to Professor Namandi last time during the graduation, and when you listen to him, he said, go and create employment.
Yeah.
Those who have got employment in the government structure, the formal one. So there are those who are also outside there, graduate, who could become entrepreneur, who are now going to now utilize those factors of production that we always talk about. Now, that's why I like, when you look at the rural economic development, the idea for this community development project, for income generating
Income generating, what ang mo na? Activities, jobs, industries, or should we just say everything under income generating activities?
Yeah, so no problem. You can apportion it then, because if you now look at the salon.
Yeah.
The salon, hairdressing and those cosmetic.
Yeah.
You know, we have so much, a lot, when it comes to indigenous products.
Yeah.
That we can research about and produce. So we can integrate a lot of our areas of priorities.
Mm.
Where do you know that there are hanging fruits there? You know, already when you talk about income generating activities, you can also talk about agri-processing issues.
Mm.
Isn't it?
Mm.
So when you are like, you know, we always talk about, you know, Shwambo, when the weddings are starting now.
That is true, yeah.
those ones that you use in Karakula, to make belts, to make shoes, to produce all this. And we are now a good friend of China.
Mm.
So are we not learning some kind of innovative technologies that we can use?
What's the surprising thing, Uncle Bona? There's so many times, not just myself, but obviously I've seen enough in real life presentations of other people who have gone to certain places around the world, and specifically if we talk about China. I once asked my younger brother if Asia was just here on the other side of Madagascar. Then I asked him, what would he have, you know, what probably would have been the scenario? This is now just playing, you know, imagine the scenario. And he said, you know what, thinking about importing from any other country probably would have been a failure, because everyone would have just gone to China right here. Because it would have been just on the other side of Madagascar. But obviously that's not how the reality depicts, because so many people are now trying to go to China as tourists, Uncle Bono, which is, from Europeans, because remember what I've, and this is the one particular conversation I had on my Sunday program last year, was where does Russophobia and this anti-China sentiment come from? Uncle Bono, and you'll see anti-China sentiment not between people who are mining or who come from the labor unions or from other walks of life, but even like from business people, you will see anti-China sentiment as well. Like you will see anti-Russia sentiment. So it's Russophobia and it's Sinophobia.
The good people they always be named and labeled with those kind of things.
Yeah, but no one has an issue with Americans. No one has an issue with Brits or with, not Namibian Germans coming from Germany.
The Germany one, yeah, apart from, let's forgive and forget it, not forget actually. But what I'm saying is that the friendship, the working together, the people who have actually defended human rights and us, is basically those who are talking about issues of socialism and communism. I know the shortcomings there in those areas.
Mm.
But basically what you are narrating to is correct.
Mm.
I don't know where this sentiment came from. Like I'm just now also learning from you. So, but those are some of the things that we're supposed to have avoided.
Mm.
And then we re-educate ourselves and see. Because now I'm hearing about Putin is also going there to change.
No, he's already there. He's already there, Uncle Bono. He's already there. Yeah, he landed there yesterday.
He landed?
Yeah.
I'm surprised by the left today. And I was looking at the thing, what everywhere you go, every street, you are monitored with cameras and things like that. The crimes and all these other things are also getting down.
Mm.
And those technology. China is a friend of ours now. So now why can't we emulate like the late president, let his soul rest in peace and say, Namibian, with own characteristic, like emulating this Chinese.
Yeah.
How do you say it?
Yeah.
Namibia
no.
With its own characteristic.
Yeah.
We have our own, you know, we have even created this cultural synergy.
Mm.
We don't really have this political confusion or differences and things like that. Eh?
Mm.
The way we do our things here, I think.
I think we actually do have political confusion, Angabona. You struck the right nail on the head, Angabona. We actually do have political confusion.
No, sorry.
No, seriously, Angabona, take your time. You just gave us the most important philosophic indicator that we've been missing for the past 5 years. There is political confusion in this country.
Okay, but at least we are able to harmonize and create that, at least that synergy. I know our differences and all these other issues, politically, especially when it comes to political area of lives.
Mm.
So, and that's why we say, yes. So, but then, are we not able to, at least Namibia, we have really diversified our culture. We are at least coexisting, you know, that social coexistence and things like that. And now that also creates some stability.
Mm.
And, you know, those kinds of areas. And we are even doing very well in gender parity. I'm just hearing that word. So, and I'm seeing it. So, where, the confusion, I think, is just that, why are you saying there are a lot of political confusion? Maybe you have got to...
No, you are right, Angabona, because every time when we get to an election cycle, the failure is usually in the opposition parties who can't come up with clear, you know, solutions to development, to improve Namibia, to improve everyday life. They don't, you can see it in their strategies, even with the last manifestos, which are technically the strategy that they need to put forward to us, the electorate. We do have political confusion because we don't know what we want to achieve. And obviously, for many of the political parties, they first need to win to get into the local authorities and then win to get into the National Assembly. That's why I made the suggestion at the start of the year.
Their confusion apparently is to get SWAPO out.
But
you'll be focusing at SWAPO.
But Angabona, do you know that? Do you realize that that's actually a failed strategy to just say get SWAPO out? Because anyone will ask you, anyone logically will ask you, okay, what better option is there? If there are so many faults with the ruling party, the question that you have to ask, and I'm not trying to defend them, but this is just a logical argument in terms of what options are there for me as a voter. And for me, in terms of if you are bringing real brain trust to actually solve issues in Namibia, what is there?
Yeah, that is now the political confusion that I think you have.
Exactly. But yeah, Angabona, I've allowed you a little bit of too much time. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Not a problem, Angabona.
We'll
do so.
Thank you.
So, apologies first off. To anyone else who also wanted to contribute, but the opportunity is still there and. Yes, just to ask or just to answer the last question there with the caller's contribution in terms of through earnestly studying Namibia's particular political landscape, not the political landscape in terms of how stable we are, not that. When you get into the potatoes, the juice, the sauce, the meat pot, and the scratching between the vegetables on your plate. You would probably realize that, unfortunately, the ruling party is probably the only one that has an idea, a cooking idea, a cooking clue of what Namibia needs. And anyone else doesn't. Let me say, anyone else doesn't. the worst strategy to have, which is a strategy that also comes through, you will even see it if you've ever read Sun Tzu's Art of War, if you've ever read Machiavelli's The Prince, if you've ever, played a sport and spoken to real sport strategists, never be at the whim of someone else's strategy. Never be at the whim of someone else's strategy. If you have to think strategically to yourself, never be at the whim of someone else's strategy. If you see it in football, in soccer, with your favorite clubs, you will sometimes see that there's a team that dominates possession. That is a team that actually knows what they want in their strategy. And they know how to get the ball from you, and they know how to use the ball against you. Unless you probably were coached by Jose Mourinho when you were at Porto, when he won his Champions League back then, and then subsequently he moved to Chelsea afterwards, where he obviously developed the anti-possession strategy, which was the strategy of like, okay, you have the ball, let's see what you can do. Unless you were coached by that man. Anywhere else? It's a give or take. It's a give or take. So, word of advice probably to our opposition parties out there. Everything you see around you is unfortunately the strategy of the national, of the ruling party, of the national government. Because, the policies written by them, the laws consulted, drafted, highlighted. I mean, it'll unfortunately stay a monopoly in that sense till kingdom come, because no one else is coming up with a different template for a different way of developing Namibia. No one else is. Everything is just plainly reactionary, just so that you know that is the situation. But before we continue, guys, we're actually going to take a short little break. We're going to come back. Obviously I have to breathe as well. Come back and we head into where we left off, primarily regarding the position of strength and need and want, specifically that the Ministry of Finance highlighted. That obviously is our leading story for today's e-paper. We'll be back right after this break.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Konongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
So we come back from the extended break right there. And once again, you are on the Unpacking the Day here on this, I'd call it a lovely Wednesday morning. Wherever you find yourself, obviously, I hope it is also lovely for you. But nonetheless, Winter is starting to creep in. You know, since me shifting from a car to a scooter / motorcycle situation, my hands have been shredded by the cold. I mean, guys, it's not a joke. You know, I've just given myself PTSD since, back the last time since 2014. But you know what? It is also a direct response in terms of, actually experimenting with, you know, proper, what do they call that thing? Urban mobility solutions other than a car. Yeah, and the roads are the issue. I mean, my elbows and shoulders are rattling every time I have to brake, you know, at a stop sign or at a robot. And yeah, it's interesting as we go by. But from the train of thought that we left off just before the break and just after the caller's contribution specifically, the important thing is obviously that you know, Namibia is still obviously have various mechanisms that they have to honor their obligations or responsibilities to. So we're talking about the repayment cycles that the Namibian government obviously has to do upon various mechanisms that they've sold into the financial markets. And this is obviously to service a budget deficit, which is a budget deficit of about 15 billion Namibian dollars for Namibia's particular 2026 to 2027 financial year. The total financing requirement obviously is estimated at 29.2 billion for Namibia. So the indication obviously from the Ministry of Finance coming or approaching or being approached by, let me rather say, being approached by the financial, in the financial markets, the private sector in financial, the private sector side of the financial markets, basically to fund more infrastructure. Now, I don't know if this was done on purpose by my colleagues who obviously, you know, edit as well as also rearrange or arrange the articles according to layout, impact, and obviously attention. But if you go down to our opinion page on page 12, there's a lovely article written there by the former MD of, I think she's still former. I think she's former. But the MD, she was the MD of the Bank Windhoek itself. So the important thing there, written by that executive, we will call an executive, is that, oh no, no, she's, is she still? It seems she still is. Yeah, she still is. Primarily the MD of Bank Windhoek, that being Madam Berenice Hans, is literally an explainer to what private capital does or what private investment seeks in investment. It's an opinion piece titled as Capital is Not Scarce, but it is selective, structured, and context sensitive. Do you know why, dear listeners? Just go think about it. I'll let it hang there in your mind. Why do you think you want choice when you show up with your 100 Namibian dollars? Why do you think you want choice? Think of a food retail shop. Think of that retail shop with everything that you can imagine in that shop, but you've only have 100 Namibian dollars in your pocket. That retail shop opens its doors because it assumes you've got the 100 in your pocket. It does not know whether you have the 100 in your pocket. It just assumes you have the 100 in your pocket. Now, obviously, a food retail shop is a private entity because the Namibian government in Namibia does not own food retail shops. They don't. If you've seen such an instance, I have never seen something like that, so I stand to be corrected. They don't own any food retail shops. But I'm explaining to you a private investor to a private service provider dimension. That food retail shop works on the premise that you are hopefully going to spend that 100 and it assumes that you have an undisclosed amount of money on you to spend that money in its, within its four corners known as its retail space, the shop. And so you love everything that is there, and you spend the whole $100 Namibian in that shop. That shop is thankful, because what that shop did was take risk in stocking as much variety on its shelves as possible and presenting it to you. Whereas, basically what I'm reading from the article, not the opinion article, our lead article for today, is literally that the government is juggling responsibilities in terms of what they've got to service by the middle of this year. Remember, this has to do primarily with various government instruments. And if you go look up various instruments, Namibia does make available treasury bills and treasury bonds. I thought it was just bonds that the Namibian government makes available. But treasury bills work a little bit differently. They're the base, they're not the same thing, but they act the same way, but they're more on a short-term notion. And basically the government has to repay back what they were given on treasury bills at the end of every year. Whereas bonds basically last longer, you know, it's 20, 30, whatever amount of time of years, it just, the thing just lies there. Now, here is the catch. The Bank of Namibia, every annual year, annual and a year mean the same thing. Every year, they give you a calendar of when these instruments will be auctioned. And after the auctions, when the first payouts on these instruments are required, meaning what they are auctioning is literally the ability for the government to have cash flow. I'll say it again. What they are auctioning is the ability for the government to have cash flow. Now, if you've never known about cash flow is straightforward stuff. For some reason, between last year and this year, I'm starting to love accounting again. The basics of accounting that were obviously drilled into my head on high school. I tried to ignore it at the end of high school, but then I made it again at the start of university, or, you know, when NUST was still a technicon, you know, polytechnic. And I met accounting again, and accounting just snaps. There is mathematics in it, but it's basic, operations, you know, it's just minus and add. It's just add and minus, and then a few multiplication here if there are things like percentages that need to be incorporated or interests that need to be incorporated. That's basic stuff, but it's lovely. Because I've also now come to the realization, yes, listen, economics is crucial for you to understand how the world around you works, even your community, even your developing community, even if your community has nothing on its name, wherever you find yourself, and your community is probably a nomadic community, you've got to understand economics. Go and read up about economics. Don't get too heavy into the predictive models, the mathematics that they apply. Just get into the understanding of the basics. But what you need to know is history, and what you need to know is accounting. You see, in the broader scheme of things, accounting is very brutal but very honest. It's worse than science. Accountants are worse than scientists. Accountants just want to know, where's the money coming from? Straightforward stuff. You ask a basic question, where is the money coming from? Yes, it sounds like a know your customer compliance initiative brought on by the global war on terror. But it's straightforward stuff. If you move money from an account, that account gets minus. And if it transfers into another account, that other account becomes a positive, gets a positive gain. It's a basic theory. It's a basic theory. It's basics. Now, the government realizes that it obviously is it's not a trick. It's not a trap. Don't think of it like, you know, being someone highly suspicious of something. If you just see money for what it is, money is basically a tool. It's an instrument. In for the perspective of other people at variations of the walks of life that you come across in Namibia, money might be for people in very desperate such scenarios who are deprived of an income, the depravity situation, not the poverty dimension, but the depravity. Depravity meaning they are deprived of access to opportunities, which is literally, sorry, Uncle Bona, I also forgot to answer that question for you. Access to opportunities. You can see someone does not have access to opportunities. And on the opposite spectrum, then you find someone with a plethora of access to opportunities. And in the middle, you get those that try to, you know, that dabble between being close to those without access to opportunities and those closer to the opportunities set forward. So, we, in the broader scope in Namibia, what we've got to read into is that literally, it seems like the private sector has an appetite for government's investment opportunities or government's investment choices. It seems. If you look at it in body language, imagine it in body language. This is someone who likes the projects, the ideas that the government has. But it wants to only target certain sectors, only certain projects. Sorry, not sectors, projects. And the opinion piece on page 12 technically expands on what my colleague Inemenua Erastus indicates in the lead, in our lead article. Capital is not scarce. That's why I'm saying, if you ever hear someone, okay, maybe if it's your parent, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, who, and you go and ask money from them, or your brother or your sister, your brother or your sister, and you go ask money from them, they will tell you there's no money for you. There's money for them. There's no money for you. Understand it as that particular language. There's no money for you if they say no. Because there is money everywhere. It's just the money is meant for certain planned goals, certain planned risks, certain planned initiatives. Do not ever believe that if anyone tells you there's no money, daar is geld. Daar is geld. It's just, do you have the right idea to unlock it? Do you have a bankable idea to unlock it? Do you have the, if you can show sort of like the financial management, the sound accounting governance principles. I say a sound accounting governance principles because I'm throwing governance alongside accounting into it, because you've got to account for every dime, for every cent, for every Namibian dollar. The $1 that people apparently were calling at one stage the Outere dollar. I don't know why you guys are doing that, but I know it does look a bit odd, these new coins that we've got. Man, the 10 cents are even worse. I really can't believe that we signed off on something like that. But anyway, probably it's, you know, the smaller you go, probably it's based upon the amount of money available in the Namibian economy. So, here is, there is no concern. Let me just tell you that. There is no concern. The concern is potentially the headache that the government will have from June downwards, from June to October. I'll mention why. Because we've seen every time when it comes to the mid-year budget review that there were shuffles of financing, that there were, you know, a need to go back to the financial markets to seek funding. Cash flow initiatives here and there and so on and so forth. The concern is it might probably be a little bit more nuanced in 2026 because of that war on Iran, the hostilities with Iran. Kenya, if you have not seen any of the digital outlets online highlighting what's currently happening in Kenya, technically the Nairobi workforce are, you know, they're demonstrating and revolting against the Kenyan government because the Kenyan government decided to increase the petrol costs, which is the same, I almost said harebrained initiative that happened just here last week or 2 weeks back in Namibia, in Windhoek, by increasing the taxi fare. Guys, I've moved away now from the money thing because the money is there. It's just, what are we doing to help the economy in terms of initiatives? Increasing the taxi fare by an extra $2 is probably the most uneconomic decision I've ever seen in my life. You don't make something more expensive if the fuel to make the technology run is more expensive. You need to take away other barriers that impact on the affordability of the cab drivers. Why not target the traffic fines by the traffic officers and by the police? Why not say, hey, listen, since you're the police in the traffic office, you guys already get budgeted money. It's not like your money, your whole budget is dependent upon traffic fines that you collect from Namibians. No. Scrap some of those traffic fines, halve some of them by 50%. If a traffic fine cost 2,000, because I heard at one stage from a cab driver, a traffic fine at one stage cost 2,000 Namibian dollars, make that 1,000. If there's a traffic fine that cost 1,500, make that 750 Namibian dollars. If there was a traffic fine that cost 1,000, make it 500 Namibian dollars. Remove the burden from Namibians. But it's like I said just a few minutes back. And like I've said for this first half of this 2026, I am disappointed in many of the ideas that the caliber of politician we vote into come up with. I am greatly disappointed. Every day, I get surprised. Because I hope. You know, it's not like I have an aspiration for much of the caliber of politicians, because I've observed them and I've seen, okay, so this is the kind of person you are. You are speaking towards a specific initiative, but this is the kind of person you are when the cameras are on you or when there's an audience. You say, okay, I see you. The concern from this is fuel impacts everyone. Fuel does not just impact taxi drivers. Fuel impacts everyone. The food I eat, the electricity that someone has to buy for their house. Fuel impacts everyone. Fuel impacts everyone. I hope at one stage probably the Bank of Namibia's people go and intervene with that taxi fare discussion because the NSA won't intervene. The NSA is technically an observation agency. But really, if I had to hear from a cashier last night at the shop that 15 Namibian dollars at 7 p.m. at night is a mission, then you need to know that the wheels are probably very close to a Kenya. If you hear from a cashier at a shop, 15 Namibian dollars is a mission. I try to deny in some scenarios about ticking time bombs. That is a ticking time bomb. Just that thing. Just that one single thing is literally the fuse. Now, obviously, as we head into the second half of this morning's particular session of the Unpacking the Day, the discussion around investment opportunities and the likes, but I actually want to skip it way past investment opportunities and the likes, because there is a very clear indication, and we also technically, yes, I forgot about this actually, my colleague David, who just exited from the early morning scoop, actually has a lovely write-up here about the Kenyan transport situation in Kenya. With, and I watched this morning just before I came here to the studio for the unpacking, about literally what is the scenario on the streets in Kenya, in Nairobi specifically. Do you know that the shops, the retail shops in Nairobi, because of the increase in the fuel price that the government applied in Kenya, some of the shop owners are not open because of an increase in the fuel price. An increase in the fuel price led to an increase and a burden on the cash flow of the private sector. But for some reason, you know, it's like we don't know economics. We don't know that if you make something more, there will be a negative reaction. It's not like people are clapping and cheering that you made it more unless they are earning money from it. But you make something more where people are going to pay money for it. Pay more money for it, to be exact. And the concern is that you see a clear backlash. So Kenya has a clear backlash. The Kenyan shilling, they showed in one of the video shots, the B-roll, as they call it in videography or in cinematography, the B-roll that they showed there in that little report was that 1 liter of petrol is 221 shillings, Kenya shillings, and 1 liter of diesel is 217 Kenya shillings. Yeah, 217 Kenya shillings. Now, if you look up the rand to the Kenya shilling rate, because obviously that's what we work on. So, it's for 1 South African rand, it's 7.7 Kenya shilling. And if you make a liter of petrol in Kenya, which is 221 Kenya shilling, that is almost 30 Namibian dollars that you are paying for a liter of petrol. 30 Namibian dollars. 217 Kenya shilling is literally at 28. That's 27.90 South African rand. So yeah, it's no joke. It is no joke. The concern that, obviously what you gotta look into, and, you know, it's a good thing that, David tied in the local analysis, you know, in terms of how we look at this particular engagement regarding, affordability, what they call it, bread basket indicators, the consumer price index, is that you can just see things going up. You can just see things going up. It's one of the reasons why I listened to the educator. I now have to call him an educator because he technically is not a professor. That is the educator, Jiang Xuejin, who is a, what they call it? A war, not war games, game theory. He's a game theory, specialist. Where he outlined specifically that the overall aim of the conflict from 28 February was that Iran went to war with the petrodollar. They didn't go to war with the United States and Israel. They went to war with the petrodollar. And literally, it played out. It literally played out. Now we've got this ice-cold situation of the block plus block equals an unblock theory, which really doesn't make sense. Which is now, once again, supposedly, the strait is supposedly open right now. So we also have to see what's going on here. But, we sit with a picture of where are we actually finding ourselves in the broader scheme of things around the world, and these particular external economic influences that have direct economic impacts on the Namibian economy. So if you were looking for some sort of respite, for some sort of breathing space, it's not going to happen. Not anytime soon. Not until Namibia has its own oil. And I suspect there is oil, but there's just hot air being blown, because I still can't get any aspect of any valid indicator that there is oil and that it is being pumped, or that it will be pumped. I'm really sorry, guys. If something takes too long to come to fruition, and green hydrogen is well on track for its particular developments, then you need to look at the one that's the natural resource. Both are a natural resource. And you go like, so why are you blowing hot air? Why are you having all the conferences, but you're not saying anything new? You're not. In many scenarios, it's window dressing. Window dressing, dear listeners, is when you have all these lovely CEOs popping up. For example, at these like oil and gas conferences that Namibia is hosting, because there's still one coming later this year. And they all come and say, yes, 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 we are here. Okay? We know you are here. So what now? Okay, we are looking for something over there. Oh wow. Did you find anything? We are not sure yet. We are not done yet with the exercise. They give you like this open-ended answer that doesn't mean anything to you. Like, in the next 5 years, we're looking at this area, and we're like, 5 years? I'll give you a good indicator. Geologists didn't fall out of the sky yesterday. They know. I'll let you know. They know. Geologists are starting to become sneaky. I had huge respect for geologists, but geologists are becoming sneaky for some reason. Well, probably because in some cases they're also involved literally in some of the mineral deals. But yeah, we obviously look at the developments as it's happening, and we obviously, you know, observe as things are arising. Moving on, and still staying within the broader African scope of things, is that obviously we don't know anything concrete yet in terms of, will this conflict stop? Will it stop? I don't know. Because apparently Pakistan, who was now a mediator in the negotiations, sent 8,000 soldiers to, is it Saudi Arabia? To protect Saudi Arabia from Iran? But Pakistan was a mediator in the negotiations between Iran and the United States? I mean, what's going on here? What is going on here? And obviously, if you don't remember, 2 years back, China was, you know, was the sort of like, they achieved a milestone which no other sort of like superpower around the world achieved. They actually brought Riyadh and Tehran together into the same room to sign a peace treaty between the two countries in the Middle East. But the moment Donald Trump showed up, and remember, that was all under Biden. China achieved that feat under Biden, when Joe Biden was president of the United States. The moment Donald Trump showed up, the whole of the Middle East are showering you with gifts. Gifts for what? Gifts for what? So, it later on is revealed, obviously, that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia does have direct ties to the American presidency. Well, which American president did he not have direct ties with? So it probably was a scenario of global strategic alignment. And now we obviously can also look at Saudi Arabia for potentially, you know, lying to the whole world about its climate goals and its climate, you know, ambitions. Because I mean, the geopolitical directions just don't make sense. Yes, each national leader has to think about their country's interests. Yes, I know that. Let's not act like we're living under a rock. Yes, I know that. But here's the big concern, which is also a concern that Namibia is also waddling into. Yeah, we're waddling like a toddler. We're waddling into this direction. Is what do you do with oil when literally the whole green industries start materializing and actually deliver what they've been saying? Let's get the next caller's contribution through. Eagle FM, good morning.
Brett, you brought in a new dimension, huh?
Mm-hmm. Which one, Angabona? There's a whole bunch that I brought in.
Yes. One of the starting points the mission is about that, yes, guys, it's only the viable and promotable and things like that, that's the idea.
Mm.
That we then translate into money.
Yeah.
The money that we want.
Yeah.
Or the resources or what income, how do I call it now? So it takes an idea to be put into action.
Yeah.
The one that can be funded. And the job today, I think it's my first time that I listened to Jobu, the one that was talking on the radio with
David. Yeah.
And he was now talking about a variety of issues, economic issues or challenges.
Angabona, sorry to interject there. I just thought about something. You know, the guy that David interviewed was, he came through as a graduate, recent graduate. Now, David was also a graduate. I'm sorry, David. I'm now only thinking about it because he was also a graduate. I was also a graduate. Who's that? HD was also a graduate. Yeah, so, yeah.
You know what? You know, the first question I asked and the recommendation was just for us. I said, but you guys, because we're talking about organizing ourselves, the graduates and what,
yeah,
the opportunities, the massive ones. Then I was talking about for us a little bit. And then you say, but are we, I just mentioned that, but sometimes we point fingers to others, but we ourselves, we are also.
Yeah.
In the same category.
Yeah.
So, really, it's true. Maybe we are contented or just becoming complacent with the situation.
Mm.
So, we should also look at ourselves. But anyway, we are on education. We are bringing the content issues that, because I understand how the burden. If you are now to become to be presenting some kind of topics there and all these other things and things like that, we might not be having this Eagle FM to help.
Look, Uncle Bono, we are doing our side. We are doing our side. And it's obviously about how you present the topic.
My sincere apology.
No, it's 100% Angabona. It's a basic reaction.
We just need experts and people who can really give us the essential information or important information in areas where we can leverage on and issues of that nature. So, but really, I think the money is there.
Mm.
Just like you said. How to grab that money, how to get it, is what you have told us. So present your proposal, viable one, and all these things. Organize yourself. Maybe those people are also not organizing themselves.
Yeah.
Graduating.
Yeah.
So for me, I just wish, I'm not saying that because there are no challenges. There are challenges, but most of the people that we have had here in the preneurs and things like that, they just started from the, from the humble beginning. So, fine. Thank you very much. So that means the those ideas that you are talking about, and I have heard about it. GIPF, even though they have so, they have their budget in terms of assisting those, whether it's unlisted companies, whether it's those ones who want to venture into any other field, or are they limited?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Angobona, I think it's, I think, which is primarily, a half-educated guess. From what I see is that, the executives at GIPF or whoever, they're slightly very sensitive to public outcry and to public sentiment and perspective, specifically about the narrative that is generated in the media. Now, Angabona, let us be honest. There is nothing wrong with a state pension. Now, here's the thing. GIPF, Angabona, is for you. It's not for Dwight. I did not work in the government. It is for you, the government, who worked in the government. You technically are a veteran of the government, like my mother was also. You guys contributed value to the government's services. So it's not for Dwight.
But are you guys? Okay, I understand that scenario. But you guys, why can't you then take up the opportunity that is provided by those people who are not excluding those who are not in the government? For example, in the business initiative, starting up your own business, if you need some kind of capitals and you can present your viable and promotable business ideas, they even put some kind of people there. Asset manager.
But here's the thing, Angabona. Here's the thing, Angabona. Angabona, you're talking about a channel that is made long. That's why, remember what I said at the start, before you called in the first time, when I said business is not complicated, but there is a tendency by us humans to overcomplicate a situation. Angabona, I've been sitting with this idea for so long. Since I was a high school kid. You know, Angabona, I'll be honest with you. I actually wanted to bring about the perfect club experience. A nighttime establishment that has the perfect experience for young people in Namibia. Because the experiences that I experienced in terms of product offering and a service was that it was either substandard or the kind of people that they allow, meaning the customers, They don't come and spend the money that you want, or there's something wrong with how the money is spent, obviously. But that's something else. The concern that exists from there is you have to go look at what happens on the ground. So city police gets involved. The local authority gets involved. The ministry of, at that stage it was Ministry of Trade and Industry. Ministry of Finance. Who's the other one? There's a lot of red tape, Uncle Bonner. There's a lot of red tape.
Red types. So I understand and I agree with your concern and things like that. Yeah, some of those bureaucratic systems hinder everything to move quickly. But if there are some kind of serious or legal barriers, which I understand, and if you can be able to those are existing structures. Though wrong, or they might be cumbersome, delays and a lot of things. But from my own experience, because I haven't started really operating in that area, even though you have got business registered there and all these other things and plans and things like that are in place. But if those principle that you need to comply with lawfully, let's take that small that pain when you go through. Because I think that's one way of making sure that it doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
But if there are really barriers, like municipal bylaws, which can be really cumbersome and delay, and those kind of business opportunities, because people are grabbing some of those of the business opportunities to in other areas, the other countries.
And Angabona, do you know what's the worst part? We've got almost that liquor license thing here in Namibia. I have a friend who used to deal with liquor license application sessions, and it is a cumbersome experience. It is a super cumbersome experience. Now, if your business, let's for example say, is here in a mall, let's say it's in Grove Mall. Let me pick the biggest mall here in Namibia. It's there at Grove Mall. Angabana, your business is there. You have to drive all the way to that Karatura Magistrates Court to go hear about your liquor license application. And if the magistrate is there the day, you are lucky.
One stop shop that I've been hearing, what happened to them?
But a one stop shop, how Angabona doesn't must deal with a liquor license. A liquor license is still with the Ministry of Justice.
Yeah. Oh, justice.
Yeah, because you have to go listen to your application at the magistrate's court in Karatura.
Are they looking at maybe if it's cumbersome, is it because of the social implications?
Well,
and because they require.
Well, Angabana, here's the thing there. The one-stop shop discussions, because there is actually a one-stop shop already. It's known as the trade portal that Ministry of Industry put up last year, at the start of last year. I went to that event and I actually wrote an article about it, which was a wonderful thing that they did. So for some reason, back now in 2026, we're now dressing up the same one-stop shop approach in a different suit, in a different set of clothing. But here's the thing, Angabona. In many cases, they don't take into consideration. Yeah, they don't. Exactly. So now you come and show me, okay, what Namra wants, what Social Security wants, what the ministries for registration and what goods can be allowed to be traded and not. But they don't go and deal with, let's for example say, City of Windhoek's regulations for opening a business. They don't look at if your business is going to be in a retail scenario, are you going to have a liquor license? They don't look at that. They don't get down to the nitty-gritties, which are the real-life incidences and situations on the ground. So we have this, yeah. You know that expression, Angabona, where they say the face is clean.
Let's continue next time, my friend. These people will be coming. Hey, it's taking too long.
Not a problem, Angabona. Not a problem. All right.
Please, I hope I'm protected.
Not a problem.
God bless.
So, just what I wanted to highlight is that we have this tendency, and this is what I've seen specifically done by decentralization specifically of Namibia's economy and economic planning specifically from just Windhoek, is that the people in Windhoek have an idea, a perfect idea supposedly, of how things must happen. And I'm not talking about the private sector in Namibia, in Windhoek. I'm talking about the public sector, the policymakers, the legislators, the lawmakers, the planners from the public sphere. The concern is, if a mechanism like a liquor license can be an impediment to you starting to make money tomorrow. You have the business idea today. You want to make money tomorrow. But the next liquor license hearing is probably 3 weeks away from now. I just need to let you have that set into your mind in terms of how time works for the public sector and how time works for the private sector. I just want you to know that. I just want you to know that. Which basically has also been what is primarily happening. And if you want the ugliest of that kind of an indication in terms of where time management doesn't align with the outputs that, for example, like the private sector wish to achieve, go and look at that Omaheke uranium exploration exercise. For 10 years. And then suddenly an act that was dormant was brought out and said, Hoss, Yusha Owens, you may no longer jeopardize underground water. So, we find ourselves at a particularly interesting scenario. And the scenario specifically of looking into a discussion of how you look at the next couple of months going ahead. So besides the the lead article for today's story, which is about supposedly, as the Ministry of Finance calls it, unsolicited funding bids, the ministry and the government will have a need later in this year for more funding. Law seller. Yes, obviously they're trying to defend a position in terms of saying, hey, listen, because I just received the actual statement, but the actual aim was that the investors, the private investors want to give the money to the Ministry of Finance, but they want to tell the Ministry of Finance, please allow who we want to work on your project to be the lead project implementer. Now here, I have to defend the ministry. I'm sorry. Now I have to defend the ministry. Look. Even in the Credit Agreements Act, for you as a consumer, you have the right. You own the right to say no. You own it. And right now, I actually wanted to have like a little audio soundtrack here. Right now, I'm going to clap my hands. I'm actually applauding the Ministry of Finance. Because it's hidden way down, further down in the article. Because the scenario is one based upon you're now bringing the person that needs to come and do the job. But here's the other scenario, which I now also retract my hand clapping away from. When it's government-to-government development projects, we have seen so many times how another government tells our government to use a company from its country to implement a project in Namibia. In Namibia. So when local investment comes and asks, please, I want this local contractor to implement your project for you, I'm giving the money, please appoint this guy, we are saying no. Firstly, I said yes because they own the right, because they acknowledge they own the right. Yes, I'm sounding like someone that has suffering from some sort of a bipolar setting. But at the same time, it is not an absolute scenario that I can just go and say and run wild with and say, this is correct. It's a good thing that the government does. No. Just in the opposite spectrum. We are building roads with other countries' monies. Those other countries have basically stipulated in the bilateral relations. My companies from my country need to build that road for the money I'm giving you. Which also shows a little bit of a misalignment in terms of loyalties. Which once again brings us back to my earliest and first proposition, my hypothesis, the Namibian government is not speaking from a position of strength. The Ministry of Finance is not speaking from a position of strength. Unless they say from which countries these private investors come from. But they're not speaking from a position of strength. Which basically justifies my earliest point as well. They will have a need by September. It's not even about life, guys. It's not even about depicting how funny life is. It's understanding what calculations and what risks you are willing to take. There's nothing wrong with the choice you make. There's nothing wrong. As long as it's a choice that's right for you. As long as it's a choice that's right for the Ministry of Finance. As long as it's a choice that's right for Namibia. But then every Namibian will now stand up after reading this article in today's e-paper. Yes, I know the actual reason is like hidden in the second column, which is a whole bunch of paragraphs down. When Namibians read this article, they will go and ask the question, but why are we allowing other countries who gave money to Namibia for their companies to operate in our economy, to build, to implement, to install various capital projects? So when the private capital of Namibia, the private financial market of Namibia shows up and says, horse, I've also got money, but we want you to appoint that person. Is it not the same thing? I ask you, is it not the same thing? If a fellow Namibian tells you, I will give you the money, but here's a requirement, here's a condition that I am forwarding to you. I want this person to implement the project. Is that not the same thing? We've been doing it for years. The Republic of Namibia, the government of the Republic of Namibia has been doing it for years. For years. It's not a new concept. For years. So what's wrong today? So, it actually feeds in as evidence into another concept, which I was made aware of, which I was aware of, but not consciously aware of. Subconsciously, it probably would have clicked and realized it, but I was aware of it, is that we don't value each other as Namibians. This is on a human-to-human level. We don't value each other as Namibians. We don't. We don't. We have a low trust society between each other. The government who cries every year, every new presidency for the private sector to solve the government's issues, is today telling the same private sector, I don't like it when you forward terms to me, when you set boundaries, give me conditions. I don't like it. But yet we are willing to accept conditions and terms from the various bilateral relations partners that we have around the world. And it's not like Namibia went and asked for the money. The missions, the ministries, the embassies here in Namibia, they throw proposals. Yes, that's what they do. They throw proposals at us. You just don't see it. We in the media probably hear about it. The very few of us that meet some of these particular indications, because when you go and see, for example, where we've got high, you know, like high level engagements around the donation of food to combat malnutrition. But the only need that Namibia needs to do is that Namibia just needs a whole bunch of ambulance drivers who are licensed to drive, with functioning ambulances, with emergency response teams in the regions to respond. So I ask you, dear listeners, I ask you, do we really, really not trust each other as Namibians to achieve the goals that we want to achieve? Do we really not trust each other? Do we? I'll tell you today, it seems so. In many cases, what I've seen is that we just need a little bit more guidance. We need a little bit more information. We really need to read a little bit more to improve on the understanding of the greater world around there. And we really need to get off TikTok or whatever social media binge or addiction you've got going. We really need to get off it. We really need to. This is a core concern for everybody. Everybody, wherever you find yourself, it's a core concern because it's a concern about, instead of wasting your time trying to look at what the rest of the world is doing, you need to look at also how we interact with each other. Just interacting with each other. Yes, probably when I step out from the studio right now, Franz and I will probably have a little bit of a tete-a-tete in terms of, you know, we've got this thing going where we specifically sort of like, call each other labels. But yeah, but still in itself, it's friendly banter. It's banter of colleagues. It's banter in a notion of saying, hey, listen, we value each other and each other's contributions. What I see from the rest of the country is that I don't see that level of trust being displayed. So, as a last plea, and this is on an emotional level, I'm not emotional, but I'm appealing to the emotional side of you, the listener. Please. Yes, and I'm using the word please. Please. Trust each other more. See. Try to find a better side in each other. It'll only come from within, from the communities within, from the households within, for us to improve our lives ourselves. You can work past the promises of a local politician, of a minister, of a ministry, of a governor. And you can, you do have the potential to change and to provide change. It is not up to you listening to the State of the Nation every year, the opening of Parliament every year, the announcement of the budget every year. Those are for the economic activists, actors and players. You can improve. You can provide change. You can do it with something as basic, as riding a bicycle in your town to prove to everyone that reliance on a car for basic mobility is a fallacy. But crime fighting is something else. Please don't take crime fighting into your own hands, ne? We don't want vigilantes. Leave those to comic books and the creative sector to imagine those things. And we also don't want mob justices in any scenario, even though that is more effective than policing. Because there's a whole bunch of towns that really have abhorrent police presences. So, yeah. This is a dilemma. It is a dilemma. It's not even a constitutional dilemma, but it's a dilemma in principle. It's a principle and a precedent that we set. We set it. We are glad to accept terms when money is donated to us. But we can't say yes from a fellow Namibian who just has that, just a little bit too much money, probably, who also wants to set terms. Now, the American government dances to the tunes of its private sector. The British government dances to the tunes of its private sector. The South African government, it's here and there, you know, unless they are ANC members, party members, like Johan Rupert and what's the other guy's name? Is it Saul Kessner? I think Saul Kessner is also an ANC member. Yeah, they are one of South Africa's richest men and potentially one of the richest, also part of the richest men on Africa. And for those of you who don't believe that Elon Musk is a South African, he is a South African. The man's father is an MP for a member of parliament, or he's a local politician for the DA. Elon Musk's father. Go look it up. He's a South African. So it's not Aliko Dangote, who's the richest man in Africa. It's Elon Musk, the world's richest man. So, I ask you again. South Africa, who has a billionaire president, whose brother-in-law is a billionaire as well, who's the CAF president, do you think the South African government does not dance to the tunes of its own private sector? It definitely does. It definitely does dance to the tunes of its private sector. Do you think Russia doesn't dance to its own private sector? Although clear definitions probably don't exist, I think they do. I really think they do. Because India also dances to its private sector. France definitely dances to its private sector. Germany definitely dances to the tunes of its private sector. Even though the German government owns the largest share in the VW Group, which is number one and number three of the world's biggest car manufacturers, they definitely dance to the tunes of the private sector in Germany. We've got another caller's contribution. Let me get that. Oh no, I see it was a miscall. So as we are sliding to the top of the hour at 10 a.m., I leave you with this thought in your mind. The thought being, do we really not trust each other as Namibians? Do we really? I'll ask you again, do you really not trust each other as Namibians? Because I'm sitting with an epiphany. Because the Ministry of Finance directly now just said the Namibian government is willing to take terms and conditions from other countries, from donated monies, which also includes the EU. Remember the Euro bond last year that Namibia hurriedly went and paid, but repaid? We are willing to take the terms and conditions of someone else who is not Namibian. But when Namibians show up with stone cold cash and say, but I want Peter, Paul and John to work on the project because I need hands, ears and feet on the ground to ensure that the project stays on course. Do you know why? Because no one wants to hear of a contractor appointed by the public procurement system in Namibia telling the government, I underquoted you. I will not finish the job because I underquoted you. Ah, Ministry of Finance. You just opened a can of worms, which was not supposed to be a can of worms. My goodness. If you've ever seen someone shoot off their own foot with a statement like that. My goodness. I don't know what to say, guys. I'm speechless. It's this thing that I sometimes also do to myself. You know, when you lay down the facts, you lay down the precedences, you don't even have to look at any legislation. You don't. Because the evidence is all in the actions. The evidence is about actions. Because a law is set up as a reaction to something that had happened. That's when a law is set up. A law is not set up preemptively because no one has seen the action happen yet, or it hasn't been reported yet, or it hasn't been deemed as an action worthy of sanctioning or blocking or preventing with a piece of legislation that then empowers an agency that thus police said action. For example, the police are a necessary measure because there was a time when human societies did not have police. But then lawlessness was rife. Lawlessness was ugly. That's also the reason why we have things known as constitutions. Because you need to have an overarching legal document that immediately espouses rights, responsibilities, and protections universally in a country. Now, this is not a legal discussion. It is not a legal discussion. This is a conversation of what has the duck been doing for the past 36 years of its life? The duck, which is Namibia, was willing to say yes to whoever gives it money. But suddenly, when a fellow Namibian duck, who's technically a family member of the said duck, the main duck, comes and offers money, saying, hey, listen, I've got this money that I generated locally in the Namibian economy. I want to give it to you. But I want to be sure that delivery of the project and the installation is guaranteed in the time frame that we are setting. We want to pay you to funnel the money back to us. Because it's literally what happens. But it's also what the bilateral agreements do. Money is paid. Money is given to Namibia as a development aid. And then whoever gives the development aid goes and appoints. If you guys remember the Italian company that built Neckartal? If you guys remember all the Chinese companies that are building our roads? The money is given here. The implementer is suggested here. And the money comes back like this. To the same recipient. But then Namibia, in one or other way, for example, like with the Eurobond, money is given to us to achieve our developmental goals, and then we have to repay it back. But at every cycle, at every stage, we've got to give reporting. We are being micromanaged. I'm so disappointed. I am so disappointed. That's what an epiphany does, guys. That's what an actual light bulb moment does to you. In all clarity, it shows you the fact. It shows you the truth. Now remember, a fact is undisputed. You cannot dispute a fact. If you see daylight outside, that's daylight. If you see nighttime outside, that's nighttime. It's a fact. You cannot dispute it. The truth is now where the juice lies. The truth is, we don't trust. Even the government of Namibia does not trust its own private sector. Because that's what that statement says. It's not Dwight's words. So that's what that statement says. If you read, in Afrikaans we call it, there's a term we call it, klein tongiki. You know, the hidden tongue. The words that are not said, but you can pick up. So, the klein tongiki is now showing a very real picture. A reality that many suspected, but probably just wanted to confirm, and the confirmation had been resounding. Now here's the thing. The government issues its legal instruments, those instruments through the financial markets, the same financial markets, probably the same investors that approach them, local investors. The assumption is that it seems it's local because they mention local. They approach them with their instruments, so as to not be told what to do with the money that they are sourcing or seeking. But what is the issue? We know that local procurement is a problem. It's either underperforming or it's too slow. We know it. We know it. And this is not even a question of procurement, because the executive director lobbed in the Local Procurement Act there as if it's, we are procuring things. But when you go and look at Namibia's roads, that's not, that doesn't seem, yeah, they might be using the Local Procurement Act as a means to, you know, to make things look all prim and proper on the surface. But when you go look at who's installing and whose money it is, you make two and two together. Now we see the duck for what it is. And literally, since we're about 10 seconds out, this has been your Unpacking the Day here on this Wednesday morning session. Why am I stuck on Tuesday? This morning, Wednesday morning session. For those of you that are subscribers with us on our social media platforms, you can find the e-paper right there, the Villager e-paper, but we also have the Villager website. So I advise, if you miss out on an edition, you can always read the articles on the website. And ultimately, that also has a little bit of a signing up situation. Not paying, just signing up, you know, to be part of said particular knowledge that we always contain for you on the various subject matter and discussions that we bring to you, not just here on Eagle FM, but also in the Village E-Paper platform. And on that note, dear listeners, do enjoy the rest of your morning. Do enjoy the rest of your programming in our company as we have to sign out. And that has been the home run for this Wednesday morning session. We'll be back after this.